Only on the way to work could we be seen. When we returned, no one was there. Well, now I was no longer free and could no longer lie down here and there. No, now I was back with the others and a house had already been prepared. All of us, about 25, were together in one room. Here we could rest a little. We could cultivate our own thoughts, pursue our own thoughts. At first we did not know that our thoughts were reflected in our souls. We ourselves could not see it. But these angels who stood guard over us, who had to do with us, who guided us, they saw the mirror of the soul. They saw our thoughts, our reproaches to ourselves and our reproaches to the divine world. They saw everything, and so they went to one person and another and explained to him that he had thought wrongly. And soon we became cautious. Soon we no longer had any accusations against ourselves or others. It was clear to us, in heaven everything is recognizable to these high spirits. For them there is no secret. We did not know that our soul was a mirror. Just as I now tried, others also tried to think better. Now we began our real work for the first time, and we had to walk down the same street and hear the same thing. There they are, there they come, look at them, these beings. Yes, those malicious ones, that is what they called us. Yes, we were malicious, or I was. When we got back to that place, we saw a mountain full of heavy crosses. They quickly gave each of them a cross like this and said to them, "Look to your right, that hill over there. You have to take the cross to that hill, you have to put it up there, and when you have brought it up, it will be a light for many others, it will shine far and wide." Each of them was given a cross like this. The cross was infinitely heavy for us, it pressed us to the ground. I felt as if it were made of lead, it was so heavy. And I said to myself, "It is impossible for me to put that cross up that hill." And they replied, "When you have brought the cross up, it will shine not only for you, but for many suffering brothers and sisters too. It will be put up on that hill and the light of the cross will spread far and wide." That gave us courage, but it was difficult. And they said, "We do not ask you to bring this cross up so quickly. The time, if you can speak of time, was set." So everyone had to carry their cross a little way. There were many there, they seemed strong. They pulled and dragged the cross in front of them and thus got a little way. I didn't get very far. I didn't get the cross half a meter in front of me. And that hill. I was supposed to put the heavy cross on that hill. Then we were called to leave the cross where it was. We would be given another opportunity to move it further. We returned again, on that other street, to our community center. There we were allowed to rest a little, there we prayed, and there we were supposed to gather. There we were observed, or so we thought. Then we were given the signal and we marched back along the street to that square to move the cross a foot further. How long it took, I didn't know. I only know that it took a very, very long time. But we were always encouraged by the divine beings not to give up. They told us, if we tried to think correctly, the cross would become easier over time. We not only had to push the cross in front of us or carry it, but now and then an angel of God would stand before us and teach us about the divine laws and about Christ, about the meaning of his death and how one should have lived as a human being, how to give true love to one's neighbor, that one should act without malice in human life, that one should develop one's love and goodness. So we were taught one time. And the other time we had to push the cross in front of us. And over time we were able to take the cross up the hill, because it actually became easier. We tried very hard to think correctly and to act correctly at other times. It is not so easy to be with so many sinners, because they all have their own peculiarities. While one is ready to take on everything, the other complains that his space is too small. He demands something, he tries to push you out. His human feelings are expressed. We were all, so to speak, filled with such base feelings. Our unease came and expressed in this way, and so in the beginning there was great dissatisfaction among ourselves. We had not grasped the love of God, we had not grasped the teachings of Christ, we did not understand one another, we could not bear one another. We avoided one another because we did not like this or that about the other, we were disturbed by what the other said or did. And now we had to learn to be tolerant. We had to learn to bear one another, we even had to learn to take some of the burden off the other. We had to learn not only to push our own heavy, leaden cross in front of us, but to rush to the aid of those who were still far below, who were not making any progress at all. No one was allowed to think, if I am the first on the hill, I am free from all discomfort. No, we were told, no one leaves the place until everyone has carried their cross to the top. And at first you were angry because you saw that the other person was not making enough of an effort, was not making any effort to push the cross in front of him, because he just said, I am too weak, it is not possible, and simply knelt down or remained lying there. Then you became angry with the other person because you knew that you would not be free until the last person had put up his cross. You shouted at him, pull yourself together and try, we are still here. That was not the language we should have used. We had to learn to be forgiving, to be compassionate. We had to learn to lay down our burden and carry the other person's burden forward. And when we were more than halfway up that hill, we were ready to help each other. We went to support that weakest and most difficult sinner, to lighten his burden. And as we climbed higher and higher, care was taken to ensure that no one crossed the line. Everyone wanted to put up the cross together, no one should be left behind. We helped each other, we were there for each other. That took a long time. We managed it, and what rejoicing there was among us when the time came and we were shown the place where everyone could put up their cross. We shouted for joy and suddenly found the cross as light as a feather. It had become light for us and we were happy, and the angels said, now you have laid down some of the heavy burden. Carrying the cross is not a burden at all. It is only a burden if you are not prepared to help others, if you see the cross as heaviness rather than liberation. When we were at the top, we were so happy, so glad that we could put up the cross. We looked forward to the moment when our cross would shine, and the angels walked along the rows, and the cross was no longer so dim, it glowed in the twilight. How it happened did not interest us. We experienced many strange things, and heaven was full of surprises. The cross glowed, and all the heaviness around us had fallen away. Then we were asked to take off our shoes. We all had such horrible shoes and such horrible clothes. We took off our shoes with joy. Then others were brought to us, light sandals. And we thought, now we can fly in these shoes, we no longer need to march, we no longer need to walk along this long street. How light as a feather our gait will be. Yes, it was as if we were floating. We had the feeling that we were no longer standing on that spiritual earth. We had the feeling that we were floating. Our heavy shoes were taken off us, carried away. We were given other clothes, too, but the old ones were not taken off us. Instead, we had to stand individually, each one of us, in front of the cross and embrace the cross. The light that shone from the cross was supposed to work its magic on us. And so it was. It seemed as if every being was a living torch. We all became bright, and our dark garments were no longer dark, they were no longer wrinkled, they were smooth, they were bright. And when I looked at myself, yes, I saw, my garment had changed, it had a completely different shape, and I had a different appearance. Now I was happy in thought, now I no longer need to be ashamed, now I no longer have to be ashamed. Now I will do anything for this cross. Now I will eagerly follow all the teachings. The others thought the same as I thought. We left that hill rejoicing and saw the cross shining. It was meant to shine for many, many poor souls. It was meant to be a light for them and show them the way to the cross. It was meant to be a reminder to them, even though they did not know how light the cross was to carry. We no longer had to go to that community center, nor back down the same road. No, now we saw the path that went up, it was a new road. And so it was told to us, made us to understand. At that time we saw those angels of God, and they also walked along this mountain road. And as we walked along this road, towards the heights, there they were, those whom we had once admired, and they took us in. Each soul was led individually and was told, now you have the difficult time of distress behind you. Now you must prove what you have learned, now you must work diligently. But everyone chose a job that they enjoyed doing. They had now been prepared for heaven and for their work. They wanted to be servants in heaven, they had recognized the power of God. We had prayed a lot at that time, when we lived together in community. But we still didn't understand each other and argued with each other. But later we didn't quarrel anymore. Later we only prayed to God, we had sung. We praised and glorified Him in our songs. And so everyone was assigned a job. We were to work with those on the other side, with the unfortunate, and we were also to work among people. We were to lead home those who leave the earth and enter the other world. There was so much for us. We were no longer in dark garments, and we believed that we could now say of ourselves that we belonged to the blessed spirits. But this does not mean that one had acquired all knowledge in the spiritual realm of God. No, it means that one is accepted by the angelic world and by God. It means that one is called to come to this or that temple to give glory to God, to sing. And that means that one can take part in this or that joy alongside the great work that one has to do. It is a long way to get there, but the path can be taken by everyone. Well, dear brothers and sisters, I have told you as best as I could what happened to me. You have been given an excerpt from the realm of the unblessed. You have been able to experience the path of purification that was destined for us and many others. What happened to me will happen to many others too. It will be a hard time, but it will pass. That is why we advise, do not neglect anything in your life, do all the good that is possible. Do not be malicious, but be people with a good heart and try to really understand the teachings of Christ and to live by them in the true sense. Then no one needs to fear, because they do not have to go down that road. They will perhaps wear the penitent's garment for a short time, I would say, but soon they will be freed from it, for heaven is happy for all those who contribute to the liberation, to the salvation of many others. So, dear brothers and sisters, I am leaving you. May God bless your actions and thoughts so that you are able to do the right thing and avoid all evil. God bless you. Greetings. Joseph, greetings. My dear brothers and sisters, I want to stay with you for just a short time and answer a few questions if they concern you. Dear spirit friend, where does the evil in this sister come from? Because she was still at a low level, or was it a product of her environment, her upbringing? Joseph, both, everything together. It seems to me that she really made wonderful progress in the afterlife. Will that then be expressed in the next life? Joseph, in a subsequent life she will be given tests, and then it will depend on whether she passes these tests, whether what she has learned in the spirit realm has penetrated into the depths of her soul or whether it is only superficial. I thank you, dear friend. This story was of course only short, but I assume that this difficult period of purification lasted quite a long time. Can you tell us how long it was according to our calendar? Joseph, about 70 years. Thank you. Joseph, well, dear brothers and sisters, you have entered a new year, and you certainly came with many good resolutions - perhaps. Some of you have not given any thought at all to what the new year will bring. But if you say to yourselves from the very beginning, the new year will also bring unpleasantness and disappointments, then these unpleasantness and these disappointments will not appeal to you so much. You do not have to have the greatest expectations of a new year. What we recommend to people is, turn to the Heavenly Father with trust. Ask Him for the strength for your work and never stop praying for peace in the world. Ask God for peace, I would like to say, do it again and again. And if a large number of people do that and keep pleading, keep us in peace in this world, God will do His part. But there are far, far too few people who pray for peace. All kinds of messages, 10 are exchanged. Why can't we call on people or peoples who are willing to pray, go to your churches. Let the bells ring in honor of God and pray for peace in the world. Ask God for peace. But do it again and again. Don't be satisfied with having a pious thought once a month. God does not turn away from man when he prays to him with sincerity. That is what you should do, All of you who are here, pray for peace in the world in the name of all humanity. You should implore, Father in heaven, hear my prayer, I pray it in the name of all humanity. 1. But you must not think that God is pleased or that he will hear your prayer if you do not make an effort during the day to live as he wishes. It requires a life that pleases God. Then he turns to man. Then prayer has its effect. Prayer also includes good works, then God will be pleased with them. Now, dear brothers and sisters, I am withdrawing. May God's blessing be spread over you all. You shall be protected from misfortune and from distress. Greetings from God. Report of the ascending spirit being Christ to and answers to questions from spirit teacher Joseph by mediator Beatrice Brunner in the hall on Mar 1 Court in Kaldenstrasse, Zurich. Original, on tape recording, in October of this year the Cuban Missile Crisis occurred, in which the world was on the brink of nuclear war. Next case. February 7, 1962. Maximilian, materialist with passions. The desires for earthly pleasures remain even after death. How Maximilian is drawn back to earth and here he must strive to overcome his passions. Control Spirit, greetings from God. I am the control. I bring God's blessing to you all. Greetings. Maximilian, greetings. I have been commissioned to tell you something about my experiences. My name is Maximilian. Died about 30 years ago. Married, no children, marriage not particularly harmonious. I was a materialist. Passions, drinking, smoking, eating well. Faith, my faith was not particularly deep. I did believe in a higher power or in a God who rules over everything, but I was not pious. I had a pretty good life, given the circumstances of the time. However, I was not conscientious about charity, I was an egoist. I did not actually have to suffer for long, and when I opened my eyes in the other world, I was naturally astonished that death was not the end. My mother came to me straight away and said, Maximilian, you are now being judged, you are in the kingdom of God. I had no words for it, I was a little dazed. I looked around and thought, it is so similar to the world I have just come from. And life is supposed to go on? Strange. But my mother had died, and now she was alive before my eyes, in front of me, and not only her, but many figures were there. Then a group of, I would say, exalted beings came towards me and I began to shiver. Behind these distinguished beings I saw people I knew and I wanted to read from their faces how they lived or how they were doing or what they actually had to say to me. But apart from my mother's few words, no one opened their mouths. They stood there petrified and I couldn't tell whether they were threatening me, whether they were dissatisfied or whether they were perhaps not allowed to show any expression. I didn't know where I stood. And then all my acquaintances suddenly left again. I looked around. Yes, I could be happy, and I thought to myself, if it doesn't get worse or isn't worse, then I won't complain. But I suddenly felt guilty. I thought back to my childhood, to my mother's many admonitions. Now I had to realize, now you are under the rule of that higher power that you actually believed in, but I also had to admit that I had done very little for the other realm, the spiritual realm. But I encouraged myself. So they asked me, what good deeds can you show in your life? What do you think you have gained in your life? I eagerly searched for the good deeds, and of course this all that came to mind, but it didn't seem to make an impression on them. And the meaning of life? I didn't know how to give a proper answer either. We didn't have any children and my marriage wasn't particularly good either, so I kept quiet. Then they said to me, come. Accompany us, and they led me away from this village or small town and we went near a forest. There was a hut. They said, this is your house now, you can live in it, but you can also do whatever you want. Then I breathed a sigh of relief, it wasn't so bad. And they said, yes, this is your house and you can do whatever you like for now. Good, I thought, and they went and left me alone in this hut on the edge of the forest. Now I thought, it will probably get dark and then I can rest. I felt tired, but I couldn't sleep. So I believed I would definitely be able to sleep when it got dark. But it never got dark and so I couldn't sleep. Then I thought, perhaps there is a way to get in touch with others. I wanted to return to Earth. I tried. But I didn't know the way. I didn't know, how do I get from this other world, which is so far away, to the one where I lived? How can I find a connection to it? I wandered around a bit, always along the forest, and suddenly someone came towards me. So I was not alone. Suddenly I saw other huts that were also inhabited. So I started talking to others. I asked them, can you do what you want to? Yes, they said, we do what we want to, but we don't trust the matter. We don't know how long our fun will last, but we are still enjoying it. Then they said, this environment offers nothing, there's no entertainment, no fun, we'll just go back to where we lived. So I wanted to know the way and asked, how is it possible to go back again? They answered me, just come with us. You should firmly grasp the desire of where you want to go. You should imagine exactly the place where you lived and hold on to the desire to go there. I said, yes, I'll just come with you. But they replied, no, we'll accompany you to the town where you lived. So we walked. We always put our feet first and just walked, and it went so fast, so fast, suddenly we were in this town. I remarked, it's strange. As a human being, you didn't get anywhere so quickly, now it goes so quickly. And they said that yes, that was an advantage, you got from one place to another so quickly. And they also stayed in the town for a while. Then they said that I would find my way back, I could do as I pleased. If I wanted to go back, I should imagine the hut again and the forest, and I should just walk forward, with the thought of finding the hut, and then I would suddenly be standing in front of this hut again. So I thought to myself, okay, I'd rather stay here on Earth with the people, they offer me more variety and pleasure. I didn't really feel hungry. I felt light. I had been well fed before I was able to lay aside my earthly body. Now I felt slim, breathing was much easier and walking too. I was much more agile, which was pleasant. Well, I loved wine so much, and I loved smoking so much, suddenly I had none of it anymore. There was no money, you couldn't buy anything, you couldn't do business. I realized that straight away. As a stranger you were in a strange world, I was very surprised how things would continue. And suddenly I had the urge to smoke and drink dash, but how could I do that? I had a great desire to do it. I didn't have to go far, there were people on the street. I walked behind them and inhaled the smoke, the smell, and it felt as if I had smoked myself. I found it so strange, but I had the feeling, a lot of the smell is lost there on the street. I want to go into a closed room where the smell stays together, where I have the opportunity to take more of it. So I first went to my wife's house, she smoked too, but I didn't like that smell or that stinking odor. And I especially didn't like being with her because I heard her complaining. She complained about how she was going to live on now, that it wasn't enough, how life was hard and so on, it was just moaning. So I made a resolution, I won't go back to her house and I won't bother with her either. Then I went to the house of a former friend. There was wine there was smoking, you could drink and eat, and I wanted to see how I could do the same. I found my friend, he was alone in the living room and was smoking comfortably. I went behind him and with every drag he took, I did the same. I could breathe in the scent, I felt as if I was smoking too and it was a relief for me. There was also a glass of wine ready, which he sipped from time to time. I tried to imitate him, I moved very close with my mouth to the glass and I inhaled the scent. I couldn't drink the whole thing like my friend could. But I had the taste, I had the feeling that I had drunk too. I saw the power rising from this wine, the odic power, I could connect with it. I was attracted to this odic power and so was the power of the cigar, cigarettes and the like. So I thought, it's good here. I'm going to settle down in this house because I'm getting what I wanted and loved as a human being. But I was wrong. When I had chosen a place to make myself comfortable, Others like me came along and disputed my place. They even chased me out of the house, saying they had occupied this house long ago and I had no business being there. And when I told them that he had once been a friend of mine and that I certainly had the right to be with him, they replied that I had no business being here, that I could find somewhere else to stay and make myself comfortable there. There was a whole crowd of them, they attacked me and practically chased me out of the house. I thought, I will take the opportunity again, I will find my friend again when the others are not here. I had noticed that they had not occupied the house or the room the whole time. They must have been busy with something else in between or had been somewhere in town. Well, I looked for another house. I simply stayed where I could smoke and drink with them and where there was no one to chase me out or send me away. I also noticed right away that I was not alone. There were some who had greeted me, and they were not as energetic and as jealous as the others. They said to me, "Make yourself comfortable. If you find something you like, use it." And so I settled down there for a while. But soon I got bored and left again. I followed people on the street, I went with them into the inn and I could enjoy myself there, I could smoke, and I felt like a human being again. I did it for I don't know how long. But soon I had had enough of it. I thought to myself, life certainly can't go on like this, because everyone I see doing the same thing as me seems like a scoundrel to me, and I don't want to be a scoundrel. So I thought, my mother told me, you will be judged, why do I want to burden myself any further? I must try to overcome, I don't want to smoke anymore, I don't want to drink anymore, I don't want to eat anymore, I don't need it, I want to get rid of these desires. But it was easier said or thought than done. I thought to myself, I'll do it like this, I'll only go to a person who smokes once a day, then only every 2 days. And that's how I want to break the habit. Yes, but I couldn't. I couldn't bring myself to get rid of this passion. Well, one morning, here I lived day and night like people, it must have been a holiday, people streamed into the churches, and I thought to myself, I'll go too. And I had to realize that I wasn't the only one who followed someone around, but rather everyone had such satellites around them, so to speak. And so they went to church with them. Some spirits were very devout and, I had observed it carefully, they sought out people who were devout, stood next to them and tried to pray with them. Others, however, sought out people who were indifferent, who thought about their business, who did not think about God at all, did not say prayers, thought about pleasures, about tomorrow and so on. I observed what these spirits did. They talked to such people. They tricked them into thinking about plans, so to speak, about what they should do and how they would succeed and so on. Yes, I later realized that these people were distracting them from pious thoughts. They did not want them to pray and have good thoughts. Then I also thought about it and said, yes, here in a church, where you would think that people would come together and that they only wanted to come into closer contact with God. There are so many who only go to be seen or simply to have gone. I thought, then why can't a powerful spirit keep away all those who are an obstacle to people? I stayed as long as the people were in the church. Then I went out again, but didn't know where to go. I didn't want to go back to my miserable hut and I had made the resolution not to start smoking and drinking again. I wanted to give up this passion. So I simply went to another church. There I saw a few people sitting or standing, some were kneeling and really praying. I then tried it and went from one to the other, and what was particularly interesting for me was that you could immediately think along with the person. You could see what they were thinking and could therefore pray along with them without any problem. You could see what they were praying for, what requests and needs they had. I was impressed that certain people could have such deep faith and prayed like that and thanked God for everything He had given. I had to keep thinking about it myself and say to myself, "Good man, will you one day have a hut on the edge of the forest? Will you also be told that you can do whatever you want? Or will you be accepted into the ranks of the angels straight away?" Yes, I couldn't have known that yet. But you could see some things, you could observe the thoughts they were having at the time. You could also see something else, You could see what they wanted to do, whether it was the day they were living at the time, or whether it was yesterday or the day before yesterday, or whether it was something they wanted to do in the future.